Amen. It's good to be in God's house, amen, this morning, amen. I'm glad for the presence of the Lord, amen. I'm glad that I am in a religion, and boy, I use that word very carefully because I know, Brother Kyle, we're much more than a religion, but I'm glad that I am in a religion where I can feel my God, amen. Now, I understand today that, you know, that you can't base things on feeling. I understand that. Matter of fact, years ago, I heard a minister who rambled through a poem, and I don't even know if I'm saying the poem right or not, but it goes along these lines. It says, one day there were three men walking on a wall, fact, faith, and feeling. When feeling took a great fall and drug faith down with him, but fact stood tall. And after a while, fact had pulled back up faith, and soon feeling followed along. You can't live by your feelings, friend. Oh, I'm glad for feelings. Man, I'm glad for what I felt here this morning. Amen. If I was in a church or somewhere and I never felt anything, I'm telling you, I'd be looking for something different. And Kyle's the only Pentecostal brother we got here. Come on now. Amen. Hallelujah. If I was in a church and I never felt anything. Amen. Amen. My. Amen. I was going to sing this morning, but looking at the clock, we're going to just pass on by. Amen. Come back tonight. We'll try to sing in there again. Maybe you don't want me to. I don't know. But amen. Come back tonight and we'll sing. But we're going to get into God's word today because that's something on my heart here. Amen. I want you to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, well, we call it 2 Corinthians. Actually, it's probably 3 Corinthians, if you understand the scripture. Paul wrote a letter to them prior to 1 Corinthians. He tells us about that. So we're going to get to heaven someday, and you're going to get there, and God's going to say, I'm not going to let you in because there was something in that first book that you never read that you, no, it ain't going to work. Hey, don't worry about it. Amen. This is called the canon of the scripture. I believe, as our brother was saying this morning, amen, this is the inspired, amen, inerrant word of God. Amen. You're not going to get to heaven someday and God's going to say, you know what? I had this standard and you didn't live up to it because you didn't know about it. No, it ain't going to work that way. Amen. Know this book. Believe this book. And put it into practice, amen, and you will make heaven your home. Amen. Know this book, believe it, and put it into practice, and you'll make heaven your home. I guarantee you that. Amen. Somebody says, you didn't say be born again. Read the book, friend. That's in there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I know everybody's, amen, if you're like me about this time in the morning, you're starting to get hungry. Amen. Your stomach's reminding you it's getting close to lunchtime. Amen. Whatever you ate for breakfast, if you ate anything for breakfast, it's gone. So we want to be mindful of that. Amen. I know sometimes, amen, when you're pastoring, dealing with people, when they start to get hungry, there's a disconnect. Man, the plug gets unplugged, and all they can think about, amen, is that pot roast at home in the crock pot. I mean, that's all they want to think about. So, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 4. Amen. And I am in the right book this time. Amen. Forgive me for last night. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 17 and 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Father, would you help us in this place? You've already helped us. And I thank you for that, God. I do. My heart says thank you, Lord, for what you've already done in this house today. And Lord, I'm not trying to outdo anything you've already done. I'm just trying to take it a little bit further forward if your Holy Ghost will help me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I'd like to talk to you today about the eclipse of eternity. The eclipse of eternity. I believe we all know here today what's supposed to happen tomorrow. Anybody not know? Oh yeah, Brother Hawk, I'm going to roll out of bed. I'm going to make my oatmeal and my toast and my cup of coffee, and I'm going to roll it. No, I'm not talking about that. Amen. Hopefully for your sake, that happens tomorrow. Amen. But I'm talking about the solar eclipse, amen, that is supposed to happen tomorrow that will affect a good section there of Eastern North America. Amen. Amen. Those solar eclipses, from what I've read and understand, amen, they happen anywhere from 2 to 5 times a year around the globe in different areas. Amen. Just depending on all of the right circumstances, 2 to 5 times. Amen. I would say that we would agree today that they are rare, to say the least. Amen. Especially rare to transpire in relatively the same area. Amen. From what I understand, it will not be until the year 2033 until the United States experiences another one. Y'all going to have to go to Alaska to see it. That's the only place. Amen. And then, amen, about 20 years from now, there will be another one, but you're going to have to go to Montana and South Dakota, Brother Cal, if you want to see that one. Amen. Amen. And so, you know, in all honesty, that eclipse is a relatively, amen, rare thing in the physical sense. But I want to talk to us today, and I'll come back to the eclipse here in a little bit and try to draw some analogy, if you'll let me. Amen. But I want to talk to us today about another type of eclipse, amen, one that unfortunately is far too frequent, amen, the eclipse of eternity. Amen. What is eternity, somebody may ask this morning, Pastor? Well, it is a timelessness that has always existed because God is eternal. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. God, in no way, shape, or form, is governed or controlled by time. Amen. He only conforms, amen, to time for your sake and my sake. Did you know that? Time does not govern him. If he talks about time in this book, it's for my sake and your sake. That's the only thing. Amen. He is eternal. Amen. And so even when we speak of him and in his existence, speaking of eternity past, eternity present, eternity future, amen, they are just terms so we understand God, because time does not govern him. Amen. When God breathed the breath of life into Adam in the Garden of Eden, he breathed a spirit into Adam, and that perfect body that was laying there lifeless. But the Bible tells us that whenever God breathed the breath of life into Adam, he became a living soul. He breathed the spirit into a perfect but lifeless body, and all of a sudden there was life, amen, that surged through that being. Amen. But he not only became a living soul, friend, he became an eternal being. Amen. Friend, I'm going to tell you today, I believe that conception begins with the fertilization of an egg, amen, by a sperm, amen, in that mother. Amen. Conception does not begin when that egg attaches itself, amen, to the uterus lining. Amen. Life does not begin when that little baby pops his head out of the womb, amen, and draws his first breath of the air on the outside. No, sir. Amen. That little life, amen, comes into existence, listen to me, as an eternal thing. Amen. The moment that that egg is fertilized, amen, there is an eternal being, at least from that point, amen, forward. And so Adam became became eternal in nature. Amen. And every single individual conceived after him will live on in eternity future. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Our little minds. Oh, come on now. Let's admit it. Amen. No, I don't have the mind of a T-Rex. I think they said it was the size of a peanut. You know, hopefully mine's a little bigger than a peanut, but nonetheless, amen. My little mind is so limited in its comprehension of eternity. Amen. Hallelujah. But listen, friend, whether you and I fathom eternity or not, whether we comprehend it, whether we understand it, that doesn't change its existence. You say, I can't understand it, Brother Hawk, so I'm just going to shove it out of my mind. You are foolish. You are foolish to shove it from your mind. Amen. The majority of the world cares nothing about eternity. Come on now. The majority of the world cares nothing about eternity. We've even got to the place, oh Lord help me here today, we've even got to the place that we have buffered down funerals so much. Amen. I'm not being mean. And I've had loved ones, mother and father and father-in-law, Brother Kyle, who went by the way of the grave. But I, as a pastor, would like to see the day that we got back to the place, Brother Eastman, where those people watched that casket lowered into the ground. Somebody says, you're cruel. No, I am not. Because if there's ever a time that we come close to seeing and understanding eternity is when we watch a loved one go from this life out into eternity. Amen. I'm not being mean, but we've buffered it down so much that a lot of it anymore, we don't even go to the graveside. Amen. That picture of eternity is gone. But oh God, amen. Though we don't fully understand it, we need to grasp that there is an eternity and we will spend eternity somewhere. Amen. And so the majority of the world cares nothing about eternity. Amen. They live for this life and this life alone. Come on now. That's what Hollywood crams down their throat. That's what Nashville crams down their throat. Just live for the here and now. And if they do sing or talk about eternity, it's so distorted and messed up. Come on now. I've heard enough of country music, amen, working places where it was to know that they, praise the Lord. Amen. Listen, if you're listening to what the country western singer sings about sin, God, and eternity, and ignoring this man of God, you're headed down the wrong road. Come on now. Amen. Not everybody's waltzing into heaven. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Oh, I need to move on or I'm going to run a rabbit trail there for a little while. But anyway, praise God. God bless you. If you're listening to country music, you need to repent anyway. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, brother, that's one of them areas that's my opinion. But amen. I don't know how you can sing about somebody drinking, cheating on their spouse and all that other stuff. And woo, hallelujah. Let me go on. Let me go on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. But listen to me, friend, here today, the born-again believer. Do I have any born-again people here today?
Amen.
Couple of you. You've got to be born again or you're not going to see the kingdom of heaven. That's your opinion. No, it isn't. It's Jesus' opinion. Amen. Amen. But the born-again believer who is led by the Spirit and taught by the Word of God, they see and they understand the overwhelming importance of eternity. Amen. Amen. You see, for the believer, eternity is centered around God. Amen. Not some fanciful, amen, paradise out there. Not some recreation of coming back as another animal or something that's a little higher. Amen. On the scale. No, come on now. Not all that stuff. Amen. Amen. But listen to me, dear friend. Even for believers, this present present life can become eclipsed. Amen. Excuse me. Eternity can become eclipsed by this present life if we are not careful. Amen. How does this happen? Why does it happen? Well, let's go back to the literal concept of eclipse. And somebody says, why are you preaching this here today? Well, I asked the Lord if I could, first of all. Amen. And Brother Kyle, there's one going to happen tomorrow. So, amen. It kind of maybe will help you to remember what I say today. Well, I could do like John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace, when he figured out his church people weren't remembering his sermons. Brother Kyle, he started turning them into songs. Did you know that? That's why we sing Amazing Grace. It was a Newton sermon that he wanted people to remember. I could have you sing it today, but I won't make you do that. Amen. I'll just try to have you, when you think about the eclipse tomorrow, remember what Brother Hawk said to you. Amen. How does an eclipse happen? I'm not a scientist, and I'm not going deep into depth. Amen. But the sun is 400 times larger than the moon in diameter. Say 400 times with me. 400 times. That's pretty big, ain't it? Amen, Brother Eric. Would thou bringest thyself hither, please? I asked him if I could use him as an illustration. I'm going to use him here today. I want you to come up here, and I want you to stand right. You stand right here beside this chair. Back up close to that wall as you can. You are an imposing figure. Amen. How tall are you, Eric? 6'5". And look at the shoulders on that man. My. Look at the... Well, anyway, I'll stop there. I don't want to offend him. Amen.
It takes quite a bit.
The portly girth. Anybody ever heard the term portly girth? Eric has a portly girth to him. Amen. It's big. All right. Amen. Now, I want you to do something here today. Please cooperate with me. I want every one of you to hold your thumb up at arm's length and cover Eric. Would you do that for me? Can you still see him? Now draw that thumb towards your eye. Keep drawing it. Come on, keep doing it. Wesley, get your thumb out of your eyeball. My goodness. Draw that thumb back. What happens eventually? You can't see him. Why? He's big. Come on now. My thumb is probably average for most of you men. Would you say he's 400 times bigger than my thumb? 400 to the 8th power. I love you, Eric. Hey, you can go sit down, buddy. Amen. But why? Why does it happen that this little old puny thing compared, amen, to the bulk? And I say that politely. He's a big boy. Amen. Amen. He's intimidating. I told him the other night, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. He said, you're just saying that to make yourself feel good, because you know I could knock you for a loop. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Why is it that that little old thumb can eventually cover up the bulk of Eric Eastman? Friend, it's because of the proximity of the thumb to you. And that old, listen to me, friend, that sun, 400 times the size in diameter of the moon. How can something that small eclipse something so large? The answer lies in that thing called proximity. Amen? Amen. Listen to me, friend. The sun is 400 times further away from us, Brother Kyle, than the moon. Are you seeing my picture here today? Are you getting what I'm saying here today? Amen. And so, amen, when all of the things line up just right, and the moon passes directly in between. Oh, I should tell you a funny little story right here. Years ago, somebody asked a girl about an eclipse, and she said, well, that's when the moon passes in between when the sun passes in between the earth and the moon. I thought, dear God, if that happens, we all's in trouble, you know? We're in a mess if the sun passes between the earth and the moon. I don't even remember who she was. I just remember her saying it. Amen. Amen. But friend, amen, when that moon passes directly in between, amen, the earth and the sun and all of the angles are right and everything just lines up. And I don't know all that, and I'm not going into it. It doesn't really matter here today. Amen. But the point is, dear friend, that that little old moon, which is 400 times smaller in diameter than the sun, can eclipse that big old bright heavenly object simply because the proximity, the closeness that it has, amen, to this big old blue ball. Oh, friend, amen, how can this little old puny life, lady in my church was taking care of an elderly gentleman. Unfortunately, he was a Mormon. She was taking care of an elderly gentleman, and he just passed away recently. 107 years old. I won't even come close. I've eaten too many Burger King hamburgers. Come on. I don't even know if I want to live to be 107. That's quite an age, isn't it, Brother Eastman? Amen. I dare say, not to disappoint you, none of us will get close, probably. Amen. 107 years old. But my friend, stack, listen to me, stack 107 years up against eternity. And it is a puny, puny period of time. Is it no wonder that James said, amen, what is your life? Amen. It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Anybody ever watch steam roll off of a kettle on the stove? Come on. That steam comes up out of that kettle. Amen. But seconds later, Brother Kyle, it's gone. Gone. Amen. What is your life? We need to come to grips with the fact, friend, that our life, amen, is just a little blip, amen, on the scale of eternity. It's just a little raindrop in the ocean, amen, of eternity. Oh, come on now. But listen to me here today. Amen. This little blip of life can blot out eternity if we are not careful because of the closeness of its proximity to us. Amen. Friend, come on. You know what I'm telling you is the truth here today. It's the here. Come on now. Here. I'm here. Hey, man, I didn't want to make Eric too mad. He might whop me with one of them big old fists, and I physically would feel it. Amen. It's the here. It's the now. Amen. It's, come on now, it's in your face. Anybody ever had life in their face? Come on, you wanted to escape it, but man, it was constantly up in your face. Amen. Amen. It demands our attention. Anybody ever have life demand their attention? Come on now. It demands your attention. Amen. It demands our energy. Amen. It insists on our devotion. Oh, come on now. You know I'm telling you the truth. It insists on our devotion to the here and now. And friend, it draws from our affections. Yes, it does. And so if we're not careful, the little here and now can eclipse all of that vastness of eternity. Amen. Look at some of Paul's words in our text here today in verse 17. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Amen. If somebody looks at you and they say, hey, I need to run down here, I'll be back in a moment. You're not going to sit around for 5 years waiting on them. But because to us, a moment is just a small fraction of time. Amen. And so the Apostle Paul here compares this life to but a moment of time. Here, Brother Hawk, the sooner we come to grips with the fact that we are here but a moment. Come on now. Yeah. Amen. The sooner we do the biblical thing and number our days, amen, and say, God, my life is but a vapor. It is but a moment, Lord, and I want to use it for your glory and honor and praise. Amen. Amen. This life is but a moment. From what I understand, the duration of this eclipse is just for a few minutes, and then the sun will return to its zenith. It will return to its strength. Amen. But friend, no matter, amen, what life brings you, no matter what life brings me, friend, we need to remember it is but for a moment. Amen. The Apostle Paul in chapter 8 of Romans, verse 18, he says these words, for I reckon. That word reckon is an accounting term. Oh, listen to me here today. Paul's saying, I did the math. Yeah. Come on now. He's saying, I did the math. Hallelujah. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Friend, I don't care what you and I have to endure in this life. Amen. I don't care life's ups and downs. Amen. Those things ultimately, when you stack them up against eternity, they're not even worthy to be compared. Do the math. Dear friend, don't let this life, this puny little existence, eclipse eternity. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me give you a few things here today. Amen. First of all, amen, we have got to keep our minds on eternity. Amen. Amen. I've heard people say that you remember that old saying, you're so heaven-minded that you ain't no earthly good. Baloney. Hogwash. I used that term. It's a theological term. No, it isn't really. I'm kidding. Amen. I used that term the other day. Hogwash. You cannot be so heavenly-minded that you're no earthly good. That's a bunch of nonsense. Amen. Oh, somebody might be giddy and foolish, but that's not heavenly minded. Amen. We've got to keep our minds on eternity. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. Romans 8, 5 through 13. I like to back up what I say with the scripture, because as our brother told us this morning, God's word is the final authority, nothing else. Amen. We've got to keep our minds on eternity. Romans 8, starting at verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. What's their mind on? The flesh. Amen. Come on now. Yeah. Yeah. The here and the now. Amen. The thing you got when you were conceived. The thing that you will leave behind. Amen. When you draw your last breath is the flesh. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. Notice what Paul says here. For to be carnally minded is death. Carnally minded. Carnally minded. Earthly. Earthly. Amen. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. But because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies, amen, by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Friend, listen to me here today. If we are going to avoid the eclipse of eternity, we're going to have to get our minds on eternity. Amen. And Paul was telling us that'll happen as we let the Spirit of God dominate us. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to me, you Pentecostal folks. It isn't God's intent that just, amen, once a week on Sunday we come in and we feel the Spirit of God. No, we're to walk in the Spirit, that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're to move and exist, amen, and be guided by the Spirit of God, so that every day, whether you're in these four walls, the four walls of your home, the four walls of your employment, or walking down the street side, amen, you're led by the Spirit of God. And He will keep your mind on eternal things. Oh, praise God. Let me move on quickly here. Amen. Not only have we got to keep our minds on eternity, but we've got to keep our hearts on eternity. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21 and 23. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19. Look at Jesus' words here. I tell you what, amen, we need to give heed to all the Scripture, but you better pay attention to what Jesus had to say. Amen, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Man, that flies in the face of the American way. Don't you fall out with me. I am an American. My dad served in World War II. The only reason I didn't serve in the military is because God told me to go to Bible school. I was headed towards the Marine Corps, and God said no. You go to Bible school, and I obeyed the Lord. I'm glad I did, because I'd have probably been right over there in Iraq and some of that first stuff that was going on there. Amen. I'm an American. I'm glad I live in America. Come on now. Amen. It's got its problems, but I'm glad I live here. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of the problem with people in the church, amen, is the American way. The American dream has taken a hold of them. And let's be honest, a lot of the American dream and the American way doesn't comply with the Bible. You know, you got kind of quiet on me there, but I know I'm right. Amen. So Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moths and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But what does he say? But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Anybody doing that? I hope you are. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Why? Why do we need to lay up our treasures in heaven? Jesus tells us, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Come on now. Friend, one of the ways that you and I will avoid an eclipse of eternity by this little old current puny life is if we will lay up treasures in eternity, Brother Kyle. Amen. And put our heart there. Hallelujah. There's no way in the world that this old life can eclipse that vast thing called eternity. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We've got to keep our vision on eternity. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And there let me read verses 5 through 11. 2 Peter. Yes, I do believe it is 2 Peter, not 1st. Amen. I can laugh at my mistakes. If you can't, hey, you can't laugh at your own mistakes, you're a sorry individual. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Look what he says. And beside this, giving all diligence. Anybody ever done anything diligently? Oh, come on now. I hope you have. Amen. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Sounds a lot similar to Paul's list of the fruit of the Spirit, don't it? Yeah, sure does. Amen. Same idea. But look what he says here. We're to give diligence to these things. And look what he says. For if these things be in you and abound, amen, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But look what he says. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Not total blindness. Come on now. He explains it. Not total blindness, and cannot see afar off. Come on. What kind of blindness does he have? He's nearsighted. Nearsighted. Amen. Nearsighted. If I understand right, a nearsighted person, they don't need any type of corrective lenses to read their Bible. Am I right? But ask them to look at that bear up there on the mountainside several hundred yards away, and you may as well ask them to, amen, carve their name on the moon. Amen. They can't do it. All they see is what is close to them. Are you getting me here today? Amen. Friend, you and I need to make sure that by the Word of God and by the power of God's Spirit, amen, that we don't have a spiritual nearsightedness about us where all we see are the things that are immediately around us. Oh, come on now. The cares of this life, the pleasures of this life, the woes and the whatnot of this life. But we need to make sure that we've got such a perfect vision that our vision carries on and we can see out into eternity. Come on now. Hallelujah. Dear God, amen. If we are going to avoid the eclipse of eternity, we have to make sure that our vision is on eternity.
Yeah.
Oh God. I've pastored too long to know that some people can't see beyond the end of their nose. I'm not being mean, but it's sad. And it grieves a pastor's heart when church people can't catch a glimpse of eternity and the things that really, really matter. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But listen to me here today, friend, and I'm not going to be much longer. Amen. It's oh, my goodness, it's getting near to, lunchtime. I can see some of your eyes here today. Amen. We can turn the temporary afflictions and responsibilities, the duties, the demands, etc., we can turn them around and give them eternal value.
Yeah.
Amen. Listen to me here today. We can take the things of this life that are necessary. It's necessary for a man, if he's physically able, to roll out of bed in the morning and go to work and provide for his family. Amen. I got amen here. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, this lazy generation. Amen. These bun-wearing fellas. Oh, come on now. We were in Cracker Barrel on the way up, and there were a couple ex-military men behind me, probably 70-plus years old, Brother Kyle. Amen. There was a guy in front of me with a man bun. You're being mean, Brother Hawk. I guess I am. You can take it for whatever you're worth. But to me, I'd rather see a man in a ponytail than a man bun. Well, you got quiet on me there. And those two men behind me, they said, "Bet he voted for Biden." One of them spoke up and said, "We fought for him." I heard them. They were, hey, I don't know if he heard them, Brother Eastman, but I heard them. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, come on now. This generation, lazy. Amen. They'll stay at home and let the wife go out and work a job. Ooh, you kind of falling out with me there. Amen. I'm not talking about men who are physically disabled. Come on now. Amen. But you can turn that job around to the glory of God. You can use it as a place to witness. Amen. It is biblical. It is spiritual. It is godly for you to provide for your family as long as you're not taking a bunch of overtime hours and missing church. Woo, hallelujah. Come on, Brother Eastman. You should be shouting amen on that one. Amen. And somebody several years ago brought to my attention a simple fact. Brother Kyle, I don't know what you make an hour. You don't need to tell me. You're probably up in the $50 range, I'm sure. But anyway, if a man makes $25 an hour, Brother Eastman, and he drops $100 in the missions offering plate, how many hours has he given to God? I never thought of it that way. It never hit me until that minister pointed it out to me. If that man makes 25 bucks an hour, he drops 100 in the offering plate for missions. He's just given God four of his hours. Hallelujah. Come on now. Hallelujah. We can turn the temporary things of this life, Brother Kyle, around. You can turn, ladies, you can turn that trip to the grocery store. Amen. I said ladies because most of us men, you know what we say? I know what I want. I go into the store, I get it, and I get out. I don't want to walk around in a grocery store. I don't know whether you agree with me or not. I'm opinionated, I guess. I don't want to walk around in the Goodwill store. I go in and look and see if they got this or that, and I'm out the door, Brother Kyle. But you ladies, you can take that trip to the grocery store and turn around. Put a couple chick tracks in your pocket. Come on now. And when you're walking by that individual, pull out that chick track and say, hey, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ loves you? I'd like to share this with you. It's just an ordinary practice. Come on now. You're going to go to the grocery store. Amen. You're going to have to do it. Come on now. Are you following me? But you can turn that ordinary trip around, Brother Kyle, and give it eternal value. Oh, come on now. And I've only given you a few illustrations here today. Amen. Amen. If we will do all that we do in this life to the glory of God, isn't that what the Scripture says? Do it to the glory of God. If we will do it to the glory of God, we can take what is simply earthly and we can turn it into something with eternal value to it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm about done here today. Amen. Somebody says, Brother Hawk, I'm having a hard time focusing on eternity. I'm going to give you two quick answers here today. Amen. First of all, if you're having a hard time focusing on eternity, start focusing on Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I'm going to tell you, part of that great a cloud of witnesses is everybody that made it already. And you know what they're doing? They're up there saying, come on, come on. I made it by the grace of God. Amen. Come on. Brother Kyle, you can make it by the grace of God. Brother Eric, I made it. You can make it by the grace of God. I'm sure Brother Larson's up there going, come on. Come on, folks. I made it. You can too. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. That's all the things that eclipse eternity. Amen. Sin and weight. Come on now. Amen. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Look what he says here in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. When you say, Brother Hawk, I'm having a hard time. This life is eclipsing eternity. I'm having a hard time keeping my focus on eternity. Get your focus on Jesus. Amen. Get your focus on the Son of God. And the second and last things I want to say to you here is if you are having a hard time focusing on eternity, amen, hold on to the rope. Somebody says, now come on now, Brother Hawk. What in the world? That's not biblical. Oh, come on now. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Hebrews 6, 19 and 20. Which hope. What's the blessed hope of the church? The coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Woo! Hallelujah. When the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Friend, that's the blessed hope of the church. Eternity. Eternity. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Anybody looking forward to that? Amen. Don't let this life eclipse it. Amen. Amen. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. We have it as a what? And what's tied to an anchor? Come on now. Them old ships. I know the modern ones. It's probably big old chains. But them old ships, what did they tie to an anchor? Amen. A rope. Amen. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, wherefore the runner is for us entered, even Jesus Christ, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Look what he says there, though, in verse 19. We have it as an anchor of the soul, which entereth into that within the veil. What's a veil? What would we use as another term for a veil? A curtain. A curtain. Anybody have any curtains in your house? Amen. When you close them, for the most part, you can't see what's on the other side, can you? I hope you get this picture here today. We have a forerunner, somebody who has gone before us. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, listen to me. And into eternity, amen, Brother Eastman, beyond the veil, he carried an anchor. Hallelujah. He carried an anchor and he implanted that anchor. But you see, there's a veil between here and eternity. Come on now. Amen. The Bible says we look through a glass darkly. Amen. Then we're going to see face to face. But right now, Brother Eastman, there's a veil. But you listen to Brother Hawk. Somebody placed an anchor in eternity. His name is Jesus Christ. And out through the veil, I sometimes can't see through the veil. Sometimes this life and this circumstances of life veil eternity for me. But Brother Kyle, there's a rope coming through the veil tied to the anchor. Amen. And when I can't see into eternity, oh, you're listening to me. All I got to do is hang on to the rope. Amen. When this life blurs eternity because of circumstances, some of them which blindside me. Amen. All I got to do is hang on to the rope. Hey, man, are you hanging on today? Are you hanging on to that rope today? I hope you are. Hallelujah. Woo! Because you know that forerunner, you know what he's doing right now? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father praying for you. That's what my Bible says. Oh, but I want to encourage you today, friend. I've pastored long enough. I've been in the ministry. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Over 35 years now, I guess. Amen. I've seen too many people let this present life eclipse eternity. Some of them grieved me. You can ask my wife. Some of them were Sunday school teachers, Brother Eastman. They were part of my church that taught my own children. And for some reason, they turned their back on the Lord. Some little problem that came up and they didn't get it under the blood of Jesus Christ and they didn't get it dealt with. Amen. And Brother Kyle, bitterness rose up within them. And the next thing I knew, they were gone out of church. They had left their husband and they were gone and they grieved my heart. Amen. I thought, my God, amen, this little pitiful life can eclipse eternity. I've seen people that got their eyes on everything they could gain in this life. Oh, the big old dollar signs got their attention. And Brother Eastman, the next thing you know, they were out of church, chasing an elusive dream. Praise God. I hope I'm helping you here today. The next time that you're tempted to let this present life for any reason eclipse eternity, say no siree. I'm not going to let it happen. Amen. I'm only here for a little span. I'm only here for a little time. And I'm going to use all of it to the glory of God. And when I step out of this life, if there's anything I want to hear, I want to hear the Savior say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I have spent the last 2,000 years preparing all this for you because I love you." Amen. I like what old Keith Green, the old contemporary singer, said. He said, amen, it took God 6 days to make the heaven and the earth. Amen. But for the last 2,000 years, he's been preparing heaven. He said, this is like living in a garbage can down here. Oh, come on now. It's like living in a garbage can down here. Oh, what heaven must be like. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Could we stand to our feet today? Amen. I hope I haven't gone too long overboard, but I've tried to share what was on my heart today. Amen, friend, when you see that eclipse tomorrow, and I know we're not in the realm of totality right here. You'd have to drive over to Erie. I don't know if anybody's planning on going over. I'm not. I'm going the other direction. Amen. But you'd have to drive on over to Erie to get under that realm of totality, they call it. That's some people. But Brother Kyle, then there's some people who are just 97%. You'll probably be 97, 98% here. And the further you get away, my friend, whatever the case is, whether you are in the realm of totality today, and this life has completely got the sun blocked out, or whether you're out somewhere in a percentage somewhere, friend, we need to wake up and realize, God, I don't want this little pitiful life to block out eternity, to eclipse it. Amen. Let's come find a place to pray. Brother, unless you want me to turn it back to you, I can turn. Let's come find a place to pray here today. Amen. Come on, find a place. Talk to the Lord a little bit. Amen. Whatever. Tell the Lord, Lord, whatever days I've got left, they're yours. Hey, would you tell him that today? Lord, whatever days I've got left, they're yours. They're yours. Hallelujah. Give them to him. Hallelujah. You will not regret giving every day of your life. Hallelujah. You'll not regret giving every day of your life to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Oh.
Amen. Take that word of God with you. Think about it. Amen. Think about it. Don't let this present life eclipse eternity. It just naturally does. He expressed it well this morning because of the here and now, because of the demands of life. It's hard to think about eternity, but you have to make it a point to not let the here and now eclipse eternity. Don't be stuck on the here and now. Amen. Think about eternity. Think about those heavenly things. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Amen. Where moth and rust doesn't corrupt, where the thief can't break through and steal and enter and get in. We got to think about it, because before you know it, you're going to be facing eternity. The oldest individual I ever had the opportunity of meeting was 105 years old. And I asked him, I said, can you believe you're the age that you are? Does it seem like you lived a long time? And even those in their late 90s I've talked to, they've all said the same thing. Can't believe I'm this old. Don't know where the years went. And yet when we're young, we think 50s old, we think 60s old. But when you get to that age, and I was a 105-year-old man, I can't believe that I've lived this long. It doesn't seem like it's been that long. And that's nothing, nothing compared to eternity. Amen. We have but a very, very short time to prepare for eternity. Amen. To prepare for eternity. And we can look at it in different ways. Everybody in this world right now, saint and sinner alike, are preparing for eternity, where your destiny is going to be. Oh, they're putting their heart into what they're preparing for, but it's going to be woe unto them. We need to put our heart into serving God. Amen. Don't let the here and now eclipse eternity. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for ministering to our hearts, God. Lord, we thank you for this word today. God, help us to have the right perspective about eternity. God, we have to realize it's not about the here and now, although that presses so hard against us. Lord, we don't want to lose focus of eternity. We don't want that to eclipse what is coming. God, what life is really about. Help us, Father. Minister unto us, Lord, as we leave this place. Lord, that these words will continue to work in our heart, that we'll meditate upon them. God, we thank you for all things. Bless each one this day. We thank you for it. In your name, Jesus, amen. You can continue praying around the altars if you want. We'll be here tonight at 5:30 for prayer. Services at 6. Amen. Do your best to be here tonight. Invite a friend. Amen. Bring them out. Let them hear God too. God bless you.